Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters, and we are back today, I am happy to say, with Toby Klayman, who is a San Francisco artist. I say San Francisco because that's where her studio is and where she lives and works, but she is so much a world artist. And actually, the first time Toby and I spoke, it was about her and her work, and we ended up talking largely about her daughter. You should go back and listen to that one. And then last time, we talked about some other journey, and today we're going to just talk straight about Toby's work. So I just want to remind people that you were the one who got computers into Fort Mason, and you were in Fort Mason pretty much when nobody else was, and it's amazing to me how you were able to see the value of everything coming down the pike that other people didn't see at that moment, like computers, and you've been on Pinterest for a long time, and I just heard you play something out of your beatbox, and you are one of those most modern human beings I've ever met. Go ahead, you talk about your work.
Janet, you're so flattering. I think you should visit me every day.
Oh, I would love to visit. I would love to visit you every day.
Yoga, believe me.
Oh, good.
Your visit. This is like better than Tai Chi and yoga to have you in my environment.
I'm so glad. And, you know, the wonderful thing is a ditto, because every time I talk to you, I leave here smiling for a week. Go ahead. Talk about anything.
You know, the thing about you is true. The first time when you asked me why I moved to California, I had to come out with my little secret that I had a daughter.
Oh, that was wonderful
and
secret.
That was something. You pulled that out of me. And now the second time you interviewed me, you remember hearing me say that I was one of the faculty that opened.
I remember everything you said.
And now here we are, third time around, and poor Janet, I have to tell you that artists don't like to talk about their work.
Oh, okay. Well, are you going to try? Because, you know, every time I come down
try.
Into the studio.
You know, I will try.
And I'm
going to tell you. Go ahead. Will you tell?
Well, I was just going to say, even just walking into the studio, which I've done a few times now already, it is every time I walk in, I am just stunned by the energy and beauty and light and industry of it.
Well, you know,
are you every time you walk down?
Well, no, this is my, this is my studio and this is my manufacturing plant.
Yes.
Everything is made here and all my decisions. Oh. Mm-hmm. All my decisions about my work, you know, making art is like a big puzzle. You set up a puzzle and then you have to solve it. And when I was thinking before you came today, I was thinking to myself, poor Janet, now that she's coming and wants to talk about my work, I'm not going to really tell her anything about it. But I did tell you
something.
Okay,
so start not telling me anything.
Yes, that's exactly right. I started right in the moment you walked into my studio by playing you some French music.
Yes. And
number
why?
One,
right?
Toby needs music because I love music. I could have played you a tango by Astor Piazzolla. I could have played you Blossom Dearie singing the Surrey with the Fringe on top.
Oh, my goodness.
I could have played you some Billie Holiday. I have my friends that's my bass support staff. And my French music has been added to that. My Charles Trenet and Django Reinhardt.
What is the reason for this? I love Django Reinhardt.
My staff support partly is my music.
Mm-hmm.
I play music when I'm working in my studio. I'm here all alone unless someone taps on the door or unless my husband walks down the stairs to visit and say hi, which is rare, by the way. He lets me work alone. He's very good about that. So what I do want to tell you today is that a lot of people have come before me whose work I admire. I'm a product of many, many generations.
Okay.
And it doesn't start with people you would think it starts with. And when I teach, and you know I'm also a teacher,
mm-hmm.
I try to tell my students how to explain themselves to other people who do not make art.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I will say to you is this. If you tell me my work looks like Matisse or Picasso, I will tell you my work is not like their work.
No, I would never say that. I never compare because you lose everybody when you do that.
That's right. But the thing is, their influences mm-hmm. are my influences. And what I do is I take out a book and I show somebody Shiraku's work. I show somebody the Tang horses. I show somebody a book on Chinese art. I show somebody a book on Minoan art and mm-hmm. how the drawings were done, even on the jewelry. And I say, this is where I come from. Mm-hmm. This is where Picasso came from, and Paul Klee, and Modigliani, and Max Beckmann. We come from ancient times, and we admire and respect, and we represent our own DNA.
Okay, so I have a question. I'm so glad you said that exact word, your own DNA. Do you think, as I'm listening to you, it occurs to me, is it possible that when you look back at all this and you look at who you, your influences are, and people do that, that what is really meant by that is these are the people whose work I've seen and that encourage me to do my own?
You know, this is the thing. I admire and respect and love 200 artists who are not alive now. Mm-hmm. But there's a handful that are alive that I also admire and respect. All I'm doing is introducing you to my studio by telling you I didn't get planted here.
Right.
There are generations
oh,
before
yes,
me
of course, of
that
course.
Did things I love. What did they do? They made art. Mm-hmm. They made music. They made poetry. They made pottery. They made painting. It's all the same.
Yes,
they wrote
it is.
A book. And I played you French music just to get you to understand that it's a composition here.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you, because when you played that music and you talked about the music that you like best, it's all very motion-filled, it seems to me. There's such a rhythm, there's such a beat, and the studio itself is so, your work is so filled with motion.
Well, you know, I'm a living thing.
Yes, and there's nothing static about you or anything that goes
I
on
love,
here.
I love to... create things, and I even tear things up sometimes.
Do you?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
because I try things and I don't like things. And anyway, I do want to tell you about my different media.
Please.
So I will tell you. And you know, I love to experiment. Mm-hmm. And so I have my first work was drawing, and I still draw a lot. And my next love was watercolors.
Oh.
And people don't know that. A lot of people ask me, you're always painting in black and white. But mm-hmm. believe me, there is an equal amount of work in color in the studio.
I see it,
and
yes.
in my bodies of work. Yeah. I have an interest in both black and white and color. But I was a sculptor originally. I began sculpting at 18 when I went to college.
Clay?
Yes, uh-huh. and I had a phenomenal teacher. It was at Brandeis, and it was Peter Grippy was his name. Mm-hmm. And I started as a sculptor, and then it was suggested that I try painting mm-hmm. by a friend of mine. And I tried it, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I never looked back. And my first painting was a reclining nude, and I uh-huh. sold it for $100.
When was this?
I think I was maybe 22 years old. I'm not sure.
Wow.
Yeah, I was
uh-huh.
out of college when I was 20.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're 20 and you're out of college, of course, you're not. You have a BA, and you're very talented and gifted. It's like what to do, what to mm-hmm. do. So I had a lot of years where I struggled. And anyway, getting back to my mediums.
I see a watercolor from here. I can see that straight back with that orange background. Looks like a watercolor. Anyway, yes,
no,
there is a lot of color here.
I'm not sure about
okay, that's
that.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, let me tell you what I'm currently working on. So I'm going to just tell you how many bodies of work I have
okay.
in this room. And it is interesting. People like some things I do and don't like other things I do. I'm not really caring about that. I like all of my work.
Yes.
My early work, I'm not as devoted to. I'm very devoted to what I'm putting together now.
So how does that transition happen?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
It's like an idea pops, mm-hmm. boom. You know, or even when I walk down here, even last night, I got a new idea. I got a different idea. I think I'm going to draw the French girl on a dinner plate. I uh-huh. have a French girl now named Dijon after the little village of Dijon. Yes. And it's a painting on a bowl. And they're all one of a kind. They're different. I draw it first. Mm-hmm. And then I'm painting on ceramic now that I buy. And last night I came to my studio and I saw my four girls that I love. Hello, 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 hello. They're these called French girls. They're numbered 1, 2, 3, and 4, but they're all different. Mm-hmm. They're in a little bowl, eight inches across. I said to those girls, shall I do more of you? Aww. Or shall I do more cats? How do I feel? Do I feel like I need a few more cats or mm-hmm. a few more of you in the bowls? And then something said, and that's important, the something.
Yes.
Nobody can figure out what it is. Right. Something said, why don't you put one of your French girls on a dinner plate?
Mm-hmm.
And first I had this little fear, well, I don't know whether the scalloped hairdo is going to fit as good, be as much fun, like drawing it. Is it, I don't know, I'm not sure. Yes, maybe, well, I don't know. Let me try it. Why not try? That's what this room is about. Let me try it. I'm going to try anything.
I'm guessing you've never had a stale moment in your life.
I'm just going to say, I'm going to stand on it if I can't hit it. And I'm going to hit it if I can't stand on it. And if I can't do that, I'm going to tear it. If I can't roll it with a roller with ink, I'm going to rub it with a crayon. If I can't rub it with a crayon, I'm going to incise it with a ballpoint pen. If I can't do that, I'm going to take it and cut it partway with the scissors. Mm-hmm. I love to draw with the scissors, by the way.
How interesting, which is
I why, love uh-huh. to draw with the scissors. And there is not a moment with more joy than when I draw with the scissors.
And so your cutouts are a big part
yes,
of your, I
yes,
love those.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. When you draw with the scissors, do you do the scissors first and then paint in?
When I draw with the scissors, I love people and I love faces and I'm very introspective. So I love animals and, So I for some reason, I don't really know why I like to draw and paint animals, maybe mm-hmm. because of my years in Crete in farm country, or maybe because I'm very introspective and pretty much shy. Maybe the people are because I'm trying to figure them out. Mm-hmm. Or all people are different, and then there are layers of the same person, and then there's a language between people without words and a language with words. And I like to hand somebody my drawing and see their face. Yes. I don't need to speak to them. And they like it. 95% of the time it's like, here is an image. Deal with it. You can kiss it. You can hang it up. You can tear it up. Uh-huh. Whatever. And my paper cutouts have proven that. I can hand somebody a little baby,
oh, they're thrilling. They're just
baby
thrilling.
Car,
yes.
And they're like, yay. And that's what art
you
is.
You know something, you
that's
are.
That's what art is.
But you're touching on something else. I'm just so, first of all, inside here, and I'm pointing to her head, it's got to be the busiest place in town.
I'm
and
happy.
You, I know that. And you are so connected to life.
Well, I'm
you
trying.
Are so connected. I think it has nothing to do with you. I think you just are. And I think that's your nature. And when you hand somebody a piece of art, it's giving somebody that connection
yeah.
to life in so many different ways.
You know,
it's like a little energy hit that
that's
you
right.
fork
it's an
over.
Energy bar. That's
uh-huh,
right. No
uh-huh.
calories.
Right. Yes,
and
right.
that's, and I used to tell my parents, if you don't like my work, go to the museum. There's stuff over there you're going to like.
Yes.
That's what art is
yes.
about. It's it
you're generous.
It creates a vibe.
Yes.
If it's music or a book or a poem or a good piece of theater or somebody once came here. In fact, he came several times and played a shakuhachi in my studio. Mm-hmm. His name was Richard Donner. It was divine. I did a whole series of pastels because of that visit. A man with a big, uh-huh. long pipe that he played.
Uh-huh.
You know, art produces very good energy,
yes,
or very much thought, or very things get bubble up from art. It can sometimes be sad.
Yes.
It can be vicious. It can be dangerous. Things bubble up, and the bubbling up in itself is important. And now let's go back to the scissors, which I
okay.
love. I have scissors in every room in the house because I don't want to miss an opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you what I do when I cut. I have a desire to make a figure when mm-hmm. I cut. And when I do cut, sometimes I'll add color on it with a pencil or a paint or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I do consider the scissors one of my most important tools, like the Stabilo pencils that are wet, can be used wet, and like the ink roller. I'm actually devoted to mixed media. I have enormous, enormous, very high respect for mixed media. In fact, if I had the time and the energy, I would be very happy to have a team and do a, you know.
Oh, sure you would. How did we miss that one?
Of course. Do a piece like Christo did.
Yes, of course.
I have other ideas, and I'm grateful I've been able to, not fulfill them. I think I would be too tired from them now.
Well, I have another point about you. Is your generosity is huge. I saw that the very first time when you talked, well, just the way you are, the way you welcome people into your site. But also, you were talking about teaching. And I got the impression that when you teach, you're not just teaching painting, you're not just teaching sculpting, you're teaching a huge emotional tools.
Well,
you just said you like your students to learn how to explain themselves. You don't want them left on some highway, unable to communicate to people who don't.
That's why
I taught
at Golden Gate
mm-hmm.
University in a graduate program called Arts Management.
Mm-hmm. That too.
My director gave me students. I had an opera singer. I had several musicians. It's all about how to deal with being an artist.
Okay, so you're not just teaching art. You're teaching how to live.
You have
as an
to
artist.
Understand
yes.
your place in the world.
And what is that place?
The place is you do your passion. You live your passion. If you are an artist, you have to practice your art. You have to move it out into the community.
Okay, and so last time we spoke, you talked about if for people who can't afford to buy a piece of art, you have to give them a piece of art.
That's correct.
Just to make sure that the joy is...
That's absolutely correct.
Not
and
just
I
for those...
And I say the same for a doctor. If you see somebody
sure,
that fell
sure.
down on the road, do they need to give you their insurance number before you're going to put the bandage on? Not good.
Not good.
No.
And yet,
if you're in a plane
right.
and somebody's having
oh, sure.
a baby, the doctor stands right up.
Right.
Well, if you're on this street and you have only posters in
yes.
your wall, I'm going to stand up.
Yes.
It's not going to be what's in your budget and can you
right.
afford a claimant.
Right.
It's never, ever going to be that way,
yes.
which is why I sell so much of my work. Because you get returned tenfold whatever you give. Let's get real.
Yes.
That's just how it goes.
Well, with your kind of personality, you do, exactly.
But the thing is, there are a lot of artists
yes,
that won't tell you their medium and how they do it. They're so afraid you're gonna soak a piece of paper and be a better something than they
okay,
are.
So that's part of the generosity. I noticed that also.
Yes, I'm not the kind of artist that holds back stuff.
By the way, you don't have to bother holding back stuff because while you're not worried about somebody soaking the piece of paper, you're on to the next tool that's come down
that's
the electronic.
Right.
Pipe.
That's why I tell my...
You're never stuck.
No, but I tell my students that the more you give away, the more it's going to come down.
Yeah.
It's like a river. There's a log in
yes.
it. You kick the log over to the side edge and you keep on paddling. And if you know how to glue something on your canvas, and you find a good glue, it's important for you to tell other artists how to do it. They're not going to glue the same thing on their canvas that you glue on yours.
Right.
You know, and you'll have a new idea while they're trying your old idea. Don't worry.
That's what I did. Yes, that's exactly 100%. What you
said. And I also, completely feel that way.
Yeah. And partly the fact that you've got this kind of nature is what lets you keep moving. That you're not stuck in any way at all because you talked about, I mean, I thought about it later and I laughed again. You talked about your Pinterest.
Yes,
I account. Do. There's nothing that leaves you behind. Everything grabs your imagination.
Well, I love that. I'll tell you something, and that is that I've been very fortunate. I do have to say that people have helped me, and it's really been very important for me. You know, when I moved here, there was a man who was the manager of the Maxwell Gallery in San Francisco, and he helped me get a teaching job.
Yes.
He loved my watercolors. He said, I'll never sell any of
these,
but I will show them, and that will help you. When John Bowles gave me my first exhibition downtown on Gold Street, Alfred Frankenstein loved my work. He reviewed me Christmas morning of that year and said, Clayman, I love you.
Uh-huh.
That was a stroke of luck that the critic here in town.
Oh, it was a stroke of luck for him that he met you.
But I've been very, very lucky with my work.
But, you know, even that outlook is a generosity. You're allowing other people to take part in your life.
I want to tell you something else, and that is I'm a mixed media gal, and I have no idea why. You know, like Tina Turner rolling on the river. But an artist like Prendergast can spend 3 years on the same painting. I do not judge. There are some artists, they only draw. And they even have one subject matter.
Right. And there are musicians and composers who are like that also.
That's correct. Artists' biggest question to me is, how did I find my style? Because my work has a recognizable. And I tell them, a little bird finally decided to sit on my shoulder. You have to work through all your experiments and it will arrive. Certain things arrive.
Yes.
You cannot.
And that's when we talk about inspiration.
That's right. You have to live your life in order to find out how it's going to.
Yes.
How it's going to be.
And you've got yourself open to so much. You've got your eyes and your ears and your head and your heart open.
I'm interested. I'm curious.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think
And you're not fearful of what's new. There are many people, and I don't, you know, the only reason I'm going to mention that you and I are both older.
I'm proud of it. I mean, I'm lucky to be the age I'm at.
That's right. And it's also interesting. Because there's so many people who stop at a certain point in life and say, oh, that's too much. You don't have that in you. There's a new technology out there. You're right in line to grasp it and use it. Nothing. You're just fearless. That's the word.
Well, the thing is, my brain has...
And very smart.
My brain has not vanished yet. And I always was interested.
And you
in
have
stuff.
More than one thing to say. You know, when you talk about artists who do the same drawing or composers... who do, maybe they have one, or writers, they have one thing to say, and they do it over and over again, and maybe slightly differently, so that's not so bad, but that's not who you are.
Well, we had a company this weekend visiting our cottage, and I talked to the fellow for a minute, and I said, you know, I think I've been to Greece about 40 times, and he looked at me, and he said, that's crazy. And I said, if that's crazy, then I'm crazy. Call me crazy, you know. I mean, I was lucky. My other job, I'm an author. I was an art professor.
And
but
a
I'm a painter.
Person.
Yeah. But I'm a painter.
Yes.
But I found a job where I could travel in the summer to Crete. I could go for Christmas for 4 weeks. Call me crazy.
Yes.
I needed to see those old Minoan ruins. I needed to see those donkeys and those cypress trees and no neon. And I have a whole body of work about my years in Crete.
Yes.
I actually have three bodies of work. And the book I wrote, of course, my sabbaticals were in Crete, too. Mm-hmm. So I also, when I taught, I would tell my students, are you going to be upset if I don't paint and draw for the 4 years I'm writing a book? Don't you think a book is creative, too?
Yes. And the answer was?
Hey, what if I drop out and become a brain surgeon? Would any of you guys...
As a default position.
Would any of you guys, would you guys still talk to me? You know, this is about following your passion.
But was there a four-year period that you didn't draw?
No. In fact, I have a suite of drawings called These Girls Are All Writing a Book.
Yes, good. you are just such a treat.
I just hope that I didn't say too much about my work so people will want to come and see it.
Right. You said you refused to say just the right amount. Exactly. Perfect. So how do people come see your work? Is there an open studio?
You know, I don't do an open studio anymore because the last one, my husband and I did, 700 people came in three weekends.
Yes.
And so I like people to call me. I have about 5 appointments a week.
Oh, you do?
Yes, and I love people to call me, and they can come. They can go to my to look at my work. They can go to my Facebook and be my Facebook friend.
You should all be her Facebook friend, just
and
for the
I
joy.
Have 2 fan pages, Clayman Studio, and I have ClaymanArt.com on Facebook. Then I have Pinterest, my Toby Clayman, and I have a board, Art for Sale, that can show people.
Okay,
what
so there
I'm
are lots
doing.
Of ways to see your work, but in person.
And they can email me through my website, ClaymanArt.com, or they can look me up in the book.
Oh, you will be so much better off in life once you know this woman.
But my name, Clayman, it starts with a K.
Yeah, oh, yes, and
you
Clayman, and
that.
Since you were first sculpting in clay. Isn't that interesting?
And I like using Toby because my first show, they thought I was a boy when John Bowles had a cocktail party for me for 8 of his architects. There was a private party and they were all drinking champagne and I walked in and they were in shock because they thought Toby Clayman was a boy.
Right. And not only not a boy, are you not a boy, you are such a glamorous girl. I must have been shocked.
That's when I decided to stick my middle name in once in a while, Judith.
Okay. Good. Oh, thank you for talking to me again about
Janet.
Thank you for refusing to talk about what you do.
I know I need to give you something.
Okay, so
you
leave. You do. You give me something every time I leave with a heart and head so full. And I'm just, my head's always just like spinning. Literally, I'm going from one side to the other like a tennis match.
I'm in my French song period.
Yes, I'm glad. Oh, thank you for everything, dear. To move on to the love letter aspect of this, you've done some beauties in your life. The next love letter that I'm going to write one to you this week because I don't know if they make paper big enough, but we're going to try.